Hooray! Welcome to Foundations Call Number 6, everybody. So glad that you could all make it tonight. We're not missing anybody, are we?
Eliana.
Okay. Eliana! I'm like, I'm speaking too soon. There's five. Okay, she might have low, and I'll just keep checking my messages here. Okay. I think she's planning on being here, though. So, yay. All right. We have so much to cover tonight, and I'm so excited about it because we get to talk about all the nerdy stuff that Fawn's been studying for 25 years around neuroscience and psychology and the human experience. So, be prepared. No, we're going to have fun. Hopefully I've distilled 25 years of stuff down into, or maybe like 20 years, into a very palatable and understandable, digestible format for you and set of information for you. Did my best to kind of pull out what I perceive to be the most important information for us to know as coaches about how the human psyche works, how the human like system functions and all comes together and comes into play. So obviously this is not a comprehensive overview. And that being said, turns out, and no offense to anybody who's ever studied psychology, past, present, or future, but it turns out that we kind of don't need to know a lot of the stuff that like that we find out about, you know, like what's wrong with people or what helps people. A lot of it's helpful, but there are some very, very, very simple things that we as coaches can keep in our repertoire and keep in mind when we're working with our clients that are kind of like, you know, once we apply the tool, it's pretty much good to go. So we're going to talk a lot about that stuff. And of course the recording will be available afterward. You'll probably want to go back and listen back to it because we're going to put a lot in here. But first, and thank you, Leah, to speaking to this on our call last week. Lee and I had a chat just to kind of check in about how things are going, and she had some curiosities about this, and I was going to save this until like the end of the month, but then I realized like, no, this would be really great to dive into now, and then we can keep just kind of move things around a little bit. So thanks. So before we get to that though, so first hour, I would love to do some check-ins, updates, and then hold space for a couple of things that Ashley and Stacey had mentioned in the Facebook group around self-confidence and feeling adept at coaching and some things coming up around that. Oh my God, it's pouring rain. So I'm going to hold space for that for 20, 30 minutes. I want to make sure that we have like a really authentic, meaningful conversation about this because it's relatable for all of us and it's also relatable for our clients, right? Like anything that they're trying to do, change, be, do, or have that's different from their patterning or from their lives is probably for them going to be feeling similar to how we feel when we're in the midst of all of that too. So there's like so much learning and so much value that can happen from kind of peeling back the layers around this. So we'll do that for a bit. And then at the hour, we'll switch gears into talking about all the nerdy stuff, all the fun stuff. And we'll probably just full transparency, if you ladies can, we'll probably go for 2.5 hours tonight because I do want to make sure that I convey as much of this stuff as possible. But if you can't stay after, if you can't stay the extra 30 minutes, that's totally cool. And like, if none of you can stay the 30 minutes, that's okay too. I can just like record a supplementary, material for this, later on. So raise your hand if you can stay for 2.5. Okay. Oh, you ladies are awesome. Cool. Thank you. Yay. It makes a lot more sense for me to like deliver this all in one big lecture, if you will. No, one big theme and then let you kind of digest it and chew on it. And then I can kind of pull pieces out of it and speak to those on, you know, short videos later down the line if you guys have questions about it. So, okay. So let's see here. Let's do some check-ins. I'll save Stacey and Ashley for the end of our check-in circle here because they shared in the Facebook group and then their part of their share is what we want to speak to or like hold space for. So let's do 3 to 5 minutes each for Kim, Herky, and Leah and Aliana when she joins us, hopefully. And yeah, catch us up. So anything around action items or anything personally that's going on that you'd like to speak to or speak into the room and have some support around or just like make known, totally cool. Highlights from the past couple of weeks in with regard to coaching or anything related to what we've covered so far in the coaching journey. Challenges that are coming up. These can be personal and or specific to coaching, anything related to coaching, of course. And then insights. I'm really curious about what's happening for you, ladies, as you take this stuff out into the world and practice it and implement it and kind of take it from the theoretical into the actionable. So any number of those things or anything else for that matter, welcome, definitely welcome to share any of that. So yeah, let's start with, I'll start with you, Ms. Herky. How's it been going?
Going well, I guess. Where should I start? So I just had Chinese food and I was like, I didn't get my nap today, so I need an extra dosage of tea.
You are so cute. I love you, Herky.
Thank you. As far as coaching goes, I think today something that came up when I was coaching somebody was around boundaries. And I've been, I've discussed with you, like, it's a work in progress. And I feel like I'm moving along as far as boundaries are concerned. But it was interesting how when she was, this person was mentioning about, you know, her sister constantly, like, breaking boundaries, stepping over, and I was trying to walk through, and there's, I found a very, it's called Wu Wei Wisdom. I found something really, have you heard of that? It's really good. I mean, I really liked the way he explained. I was trying to, after our conversation, I was trying to just gain some more insight as to why we don't set boundaries and stuff, but it's just interesting observation that how it was massively coming up in me too, while I, you know, refrained from giving any of this thing, but on just being like how to make somebody be aware, because it's very, very clear that the other person is, the sister is obviously stepping over. So I did bring it up because she is newly into meditation and she loves meditation and has found it really beneficial. So she's in this, you know, that Zen mode and how you can have that element of spiritual bypassing too. And she was like, oh, my sister sent me a bill for something that happened that she may or may not be her fault. And she started talking about it. And I sort of questioned it and then put it out there. Is this, are you sure? Like, is there like a boundary and stuff? But it massively triggered her, and I think it somewhere triggered me too. So I'm still like working on it, but that's when I went and watched that video. And you know, you said about coaching, how it's showing up in real life. So this is what I just wanted to share with you. That
thank you.
I wasn't sure because she has a little, you know, she has a therapist too, and she has a couple of, you know, OCD and a few other things going on. And but it's very clear that she's constantly been like sort of used by, you know, her, this thing. So when do you make a client aware? Should you not? If you clearly see something, how do you like slowly say that? And then how do you check your own self? Because, you know, I just went with it. And but yeah, that's my share, I guess, in terms of real life bringing it. Other than that, tomorrow I'm going to New York for 4 days, so I'm happy. Yeah, final kids' summer vacation before it's over. Final wrap-up party with the family. So.
Yay! Awesome. Thanks for bringing that to the table, Herky. That is a really, really good theme question, and oh gosh, so much to explore there. Who else resonates with questions or uncertainty around boundaries for self and or boundaries with like, how do we help our clients like see what we might see in a way that doesn't have them wanting to just, you know, hang up the phone and run. Cool. All right. So it seems like this is a pretty common topic for you ladies. All right. As you can see, my electricity is going in and out, so I might need to hop off in a few minutes and grab my extension cable to get my backup battery, but I think there's enough light right now. So, yes, Herky, this is, we could have a total powwow about this right now. Good for you for noticing and for seeing them or what was happening, and speaking to it, like being direct with your client about it. I'm not sure how you brought it up or how you approached it. Oh my God, how you approached it. But the fact that you did say something about it is a great sign of courageous coaching. And part of direct communication with our clients is being willing to, I mean, ultimately we're not here to be their friend, although I know I'm the last person to be saying that, but like ultimately we're here to serve them, right? So that means that we get to be, and we get to make that transparent at the front of the coaching journey and letting them know that we're going to be pointing things out to them that they may not be able to see for themselves, not in a sense of right or wrong, but just food for thought for them, right? Like, you know, I'm noticing this. What do you think might be happening there, et cetera? So I will make this the first short video that I record and post in foundations, because I'm going to start doing some themes and like posting my two cents and feedback around that. Specifically though, what feels like the biggest question or challenge that you experienced or that you're experiencing around boundaries?
If a client is such that they are also in therapy and you clearly see something, should you tell them, should you tell them or not? If it's someone not in therapy, I feel like it's, you can be direct, but if it's someone, and if it like triggers a whole lot of things in them, so she's like, okay now, I mean, a lot of questions came up, obviously, if it's discovered, but so she said, oh, I am in, my sister's sending me this bill for $1,500 and I'm going to just pay it, and because I don't like, you know, something, I'm not going to enter lack, I'm going to be in abundance, and, you know, with all that, I was like, that's great when we have an abundance mindset, but do you think like confrontation is something, or avoidance? I brought up those things that, in general, what do you think of that, and some questions around that, because, or, you know, when we, another reason why we don't hold the boundaries, we don't want to be not accepted, or, you know, to be in that. So just, you know, and then like it's opened up a Pandora box of right since childhood, how it's been the pattern over and over and over again. So I was like, okay. So, and then next day was spent in so many text messages to me that I was like, I need to set a boundary on the number of text messages now to me, because this was towards the end of the call. And, you know, obviously it opened up. I was on the one hand, I want to give support. On the other hand, it's like, you know, I cannot receive 50 messages on one day, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, just around that. I think my question would be around this only.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a unique circumstance in which somebody is, has some struggles a bit with some, functional skills, perhaps psychologically, emotionally, and we're aware of that, and we're aware that they're going to therapy, and how to interact with them in a way that is respectful of like what might be going on uniquely for them. But then also not being afraid to like bring things up that we think are important, like how to do that. Okay. All right. Yeah. So I'll speak to this in greater depth, in a video. I'm going to start recording videos tomorrow, so I will definitely share around this. Something that might be helpful if any of you work with clients, and this will happen, and I actually encourage people to, or clients to, like therapy and coaching work really well together. And especially when we're new coaches, and or if we're not necessarily like well-versed in counseling or psychology or something like that yet, or we haven't studied that a lot, it's, you know, it's ethical and safe if somebody tells us that they struggle with anxiety, depression, et cetera, for us to say, to vet that and to check in with coachability. Is this person coachable? Are they, and this, on the consultation call, this can be one of those areas to really, you know, dig into or look into. So knowing that we can kind of check in, like, not kind of, we can check in with them as we begin the coaching journey, if it's like a yes, let's do this, around what could happen. Is there anything that I need to know about how this shows up for you, like depression or anxiety shows up for you? You know, for some people, like some of my clients will tell me, like, I'm on, you know, antidepressant medication, so I'm mostly functional, but sometimes I just hit days where I'm like in bed and I don't want to get out. And, you know, that's what's that. So it's just good for us to know as coaches any areas around that. That should be in, like, in the first contract as well. But then to also have the conversation with them, that the coaching journey is, we are going to be asking, you know, deep questions, strong questions. We are going to be inviting them to challenge their thinking. We are going to be pointing things out that they may not be aware of that trigger things, right? And that's okay, but letting them know and then asking, like, are you okay with that? Does that sound like a good agreement for you, that's what we're doing here? So establishing that out front is good to do. And that's why I think with any of you who have worked with me, like the first session or in the contract, I mentioned that the coaching journey is like, it's we're humans, right? It's like high and low, and we'll have great streaks and then we'll like kind of crash for a minute, and like anything is possible, and that's okay. And that's human. It's a learning experience. As long as we look at it as coach and client as a learning experience and, like, you know, kind of dust ourselves off and see what happened there, totally cool. So just making sure the expectations are clear as possible out the gate. And then if we're like along the journey with somebody and they get triggered, which it sounds like that's, you know, the case with the dynamic with your client where she got triggered, we can check in around their safety in the moment. And maybe as we're working with them, maybe in prior sessions, maybe we've noticed that there's kind of a hot button or a cold button or a tendency for them to kind of go into a fight or flight or self-preservation, which is totally human and normal to do. We can check in with them and ask, like, you know, does this feel safe for you? This might feel uncomfortable, but that doesn't mean it's bad, but does this feel, is it okay that we're exploring here? Right. So that's another thing to bring up with them. And it sounds like, I mean, without knowing the full picture, I don't know, but it sounds like you bringing that up to her and it triggering her and it opening up a Pandora's box, like there's so much potential there. And you guys were texting all day, so I don't want to make assumptions, but I'm guessing that it, like the light of awareness kind of shown and revealed some things that weren't there before.
Because that's how it was for me too. So I feel like, it's sometimes you can't sugarcoat the truth, but you have to just make sure who you're, how you deliver, I guess. So, And dogs are uncomfortable. They're still uncomfortable to me, so much so I can feel that butterfly in my stomach every time, you know. But they're worth it because, you know.
Beautiful. Yeah. Very courageous. I love that. I'm all about courageous coaching. People aren't hiring us to tell them the same thing they already believe. I mean, maybe they think they are, but they're ultimately, right, they're wanting something different. And so we get to be the ones to point out the areas that could make that difference for them. So boundaries that's a huge one.
Glad I could share. That feels a little light to me.
Thank you. So I'm going to write down, there's a theme around boundaries and then also a theme around having like difficult conversations, right? Or like direct communication with clients. Yeah, that's super important too. Okay, thanks for your share, Herky. I really appreciate you bringing that to the table and like also sharing that it triggered you and you were feeling some things around it and also very normal. I know I say this a million times, but being an entrepreneur and a coach who's an entrepreneur is the best personal development in the universe. So we get to learn a lot about ourselves.
Those are golden words. I know you said that and I'm like living, really realizing how true that is.
Yeah, right. Stacey and Ash, we'll get to you guys in a second. But yeah, case in point, it's like, oh, awesome. Hi, Kim. How are you doing?
I'm good. Hey, everybody. Let's see. I have really been enjoying the buddy coaching a lot. Like I like it for two reasons. One, I'm getting personal help. Number two, it's just nice to get to know people and, you know, to talk to them on a, you know, a separate outside the group. It's just nice to get to know people better. I am also really, really using the clarifying tool. So in buddy coaching, but also in my clients, and it really makes a difference. So it's making a huge difference, at least to me on my side. It just almost takes out, it's a better flow. And also, rather than getting to the problem-solving part quickly, it, like, brings that, and people start thinking about, you know, they kind of start bringing those things up themselves. And so, you know, I type it out, and then when we get to the action steps, then I can kind of say, so you said that, blah, 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 do you mind if I add it as an action step that you want to do? And so it, like, it's great. So I've been really liking that part. So I have a question, and it might be about direct communicating with a client. So one of my clients, she's really overwhelmed with life, and the last two sessions, like, she hasn't been taking the time out for herself to be able to use any of the tools. And so today, I stress the importance of, you know, taking the time out. Not saying you need to use the tools, just saying, you know, it's very important. And I asked the question, she realized it was important. So I kind of just re-emphasized it at the end, but I was wondering, should I have done that? Like, should I say that, or should I have just left it to the question? She said this was something she wanted to do, although she said that after I kind of stressed it. She also, it talked about when I was answering the question, she was also saying, but I know that I need to take time to myself, you know, and but she's said that a couple of sessions, and so I tried to do it in a way where I was telling her it doesn't have to be at the end of your day, it doesn't have to be exactly in the moment, it doesn't have to be like this long stretch of time. There are times within your day that you can self-care, that you can, so I recommended the anchoring activity. And then she talked about she wanted to do some yoga things, but what she's seen is too difficult for her. So we talked about that after, but I did reemphasize that, and I was wondering, should I just, is that direct, or is that telling, like, I got lost once it was over, but I had already done it. But, you know, I just wanted to know, can you flat out say something, even if you've worked through it, you know, and it was definitely towards the end. I didn't say at the beginning of the journey. But I just want to know, is that too direct? Is that telling a client what to do? Is that putting my thing on, you know, I tried to do it in a way, well, what works, you know, what I've seen work or something like that. I did give an example from my own life. So I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have. So I just want to know how, you know, do you just leave it at the questioning and let them come to it, or especially just because she's mentioned it like now two times on two separate sessions.
Awesome. Great question. So can you share with me a little bit more about the, you pointed it out to her. Can you tell me a little bit more about like how that happened?
Oh. Or,
like the way that you did that?
So we were finishing up and we were doing action steps and she had said, I'm trying to think of one she wanted to do. She wanted to start taking breaks at work. And so she doesn't take a break at work. She doesn't do lunch. She just goes straight through her day. And it's causing her to make mistakes. And she's just tired. She needs a vacation, but her vacation is not coming up anytime soon. And so she's just spinning. And her children are codependent, you know, so she's very involved in their lives. And we've talked about setting boundaries and everything like that. But she's really, really worried about her grandkids. So she kind of steps in when she feels like, oh, yeah, no, you know, it's going to go too far. So we discussed that. You know, I talked about what happens if you don't go to the rescue. And, you know, she's talked through that. And so she was like, well, I have to do this. And when I get home, I'm just tired. I just want to watch TV. And then, you know, so we talked about some things about balancing and all that stuff. And so so when she brought up her breaks, I then asked her, could I tell her about the anchoring activity? She said yes. So I told her about that. And she said, and so then, and I can't remember, but we brought up, because Untethered Soul I've given to her to read, and I was just, we were talking about that, and then she said, well, as soon as I can go on vacation, I'll be able to read, and I said, and then that's when I had started talking about, make sure that you're not just limiting yourself, you know, well, I'm trying to think of how I exactly said it. It was more like, make sure you're taking out time for yourself. It does not have to be like this grand time. Like you can take different sections of your day. I referred back to the anchoring activity, you know, and I said, just treat it like it's self-care, you know, every present moment. Oh, that's why I came up, because we were talking about Untethered Soul. And I said, you know, about the present moment and things like that. So then that's how I slid that in. But then I wasn't sure if I should.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. So I think what I'm hearing is the question is around like reinforcing something with our client that they've shared with us that, or that we're noticing or that we're seeing like they're not doing that they want to do, right? And yeah, okay. So it's, yes, again, like this is kind of a similar theme here. Direct communication, we are here to point these things out to our clients. The way we point them out is the real important thing here. So the language of make sure you're taking time out for yourself, like, you know, we're not perfect. We're going to say things like that to our clients sometimes, and it's probably fine overall. But a more power, so she's already been trying to create this time in her schedule and or in time for herself, but she hasn't yet, and this is becoming a theme, right? It's not like an a circumstantial thing. It's like this is a pattern that we're noticing.
Right.
And then she also has a mindset around like waiting until vacation. So we can pump the brakes and slow things down. And, you know, it was at the end of the session. So that does kind of make things a little bit tricky, but if we pump the brakes there and we get curious and we use that curiosity inquiry that we've been practicing to go into that with them, and help them to see what, you know, what will the next 2 weeks be like if nothing changes? What will the next 2 weeks be like if you don't take breaks for yourself? What's getting in the way of you putting your time first or creating the time for yourself first? And then everything else comes second, right? So just helping them get, not just realize what they need to do, but also become aware of the way that they're thinking about it, right? If they're thinking, I need to do this, but I can't do this, those two things are incongruent, right?
Yeah.
So we want to help them, like, question how they're moving through life, question the rules, basically, that they may have and are unaware of innocently often, most of the time. So maybe asking her, would you be willing to prioritize yourself this week, like non-negotiably, you know, and see what comes up. She might be like, yes, but you can hint, you can like sense the resistance. Or she might be like, well, no, I have too much going on. And then we'll say, okay, well, would you be willing to explore if that's actually true? Would you be willing to, like, basically, do you see the benefit in having time for yourself versus not having this time for yourself? Because shoulds will run all day long. Yeah, I should lose weight. I should eat better. I should, you know, this, that, or the other. But if, and we can tell ourselves, or we can even tell our clients, like, make sure you make them do that. And they're like, I know. I say that every time. But that, we're still kind of circumventing the actual root of what's happening, which is that there is some kind of a belief in there or some kind of an attachment or story that things are, this is just the way it is. It's not changeable. Or I don't deserve to come first. Like that's when their belief systems will start to emerge and we get to kind of help them play with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we did some of that like throughout. And I think, yeah. So I was just trying to catch her when she was saying it again.
Great.
Yeah, I should have just asked the question, like, what would the 2 weeks, you know, the next week or two look like when you would? Yeah, that's a good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And obstacles, identifying obstacles is a really great way to do this as well. This is like part of the ICF flow. So take it, leave it, whatever. I find it valuable. At first with clients, because I'm getting to know their isms and their, you know, procrastination tendencies and stuff. So checking in with people about what could get in your way. Like if our goal is 100, is like, this is happening and you're looking at that goal next time we're talking and you're telling me you succeeded, what came up in between now and that goal that could get in your way that would have you give me a report that it didn't happen. And then that will help them identify. That's another kind of access point to belief systems and stories too. But it's great that you were direct with her and that you caught that and you pointed it out in the moment. That's awesome.
Okay. But still ask, follow, like, watch out for the wording and then ask that question, like a curiosity question, to help her see that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like the difference between when you tell your kids to pick up their room versus when they realize how awesome it is to have a clean room, if that ever happens. or when we tell somebody that they're hanging out with someone who's toxic for them and they're like, you know, and then they actually get hurt or something happens and they're like, oh, that person's toxic. And we're like, yeah. So it's kind of the difference between those two things. There's an internal insight and internal shift that happens when we help our clients experientially in the moment realize, okay, like I am probably just going to keep on doing the same thing. Yeah, I guess we should probably talk about that. Yeah. So
thank you.
Totally. Yeah, great question. Hi, Aliana. We're just doing check-ins. I don't know if you can check in with us. You might still be with Lowen in 640. Okay. Maybe she'll be able to tune in with us later. Okay. Leah got kicked off of Zoom. Let me just check in with her. Okay. So Ashley and Stacy. Say thank you for speaking to this, and Ashley, thank you for speaking to this as well. It is very courageous to speak to our experience of being new at something and the things that sprout up in that whole process. So since both of you, actually, no, go ahead and feel free to like update us and the other things as well, like how things have been going, highs, lows, insights, and then kind of finish with that main theme that came up. I'll stay long by you to share, and then Ashley, you can share, and then we'll kind of see where we're at and exploring it. Does that sound okay? Cool. All right. Yeah. So yeah, Stace, how's it going?
Pretty good. I think I've mentioned before that Wednesdays are the transition day for my kids going back to their dad's house. And I think my son, especially, he's 12 and getting more emotional, you know, and I think just hormones and puberty and stuff. But he kind of had a whole meltdown today of not wanting to go between the two houses and me working during the day while he's here, and, you know, and just, it's just heavy. That feels heavy, you know, just to be really just honest. And I'm still navigating that, and I've made a lot of progress both with Ashley and Fawn and Aliana, just like getting some insight into like, okay, I need to own my schedule and like getting help for the kid, either not working, which isn't a possibility, or getting help for them so that everyone's feeling kind of a bit supported. And so that's been bad. But other than that, things actually have been feeling pretty good in general, just balancing things. I had my first in-person meeting with work with the designers in town that I have been, basically I've known them for like 10 years. There was only like 10, 15 that showed up, but it was just like meaningful conversations with every single one of them, and it felt so good. We were in person, we were outside, so we could take our masks off, and it just was like, I came home so happy. I don't even think I needed to sleep last night. I was just like, I feel like I just went to an amazing concert or something. I just feel so energized. So things have been good. And the coaching has, I've really enjoyed the book. I've been listening it to as an audiobook. And at first I was taking a ton of notes, and then I found myself not listening to the audiobook because I was trying to take these perfect notes. And then I was like, Stacey, just stop and just listen to the frickin' book and just absorb what you can. And you can listen to it multiple times and you can buy it and highlight it. But I learn by the best. My retention is the best when I take notes myself and then I refer back to those notes. But it takes me probably 4 to 5 times as long as just listening to it. And it's long as an audiobook, even on its own, you know? So I brought that up in the Facebook thing. I just have noticed I keep procrastinating, which I've done that in every part of my life. Like, where I really want to do well at something, it's important to me, and I'm afraid of failing, and I can see it, and it's really hard for me to slow down the voices inside that are making that happen, if that makes sense. So I'm just trying to tap into it and talk to that voice. Like, I've got multiple voices going where I'm like, okay, I can hear that voice coming up that's like, you're not able to take the notes, you're not able to be present for this. And then I'm like, is that true? Is that truth? Or is that you just coming up with a reason? And does it have to be perfect? It doesn't. Why does it? Who says it has to be perfect? Who says that you have to take these perfect notes and like no one's grading you on this? So why are you holding yourself to the standard of like, I just need to be practicing it and not, that's where I'm thinking. But I'm also like, I feel like I'm in a dark cave where I could have a million blind spots and not be, it feels like more than just coaching. This feels like what's going on for me feels more like a theme of like the not being good enough that Fawn, you and I talked about, like the story of not being good enough and like, how do you create this perfect world where everything looks perfect and like you are good enough definitely because you got straight A's and you got this and you got that and you know. So I think I'm just trying to like slow it all down and stop it, but it's definitely triggering different things, I think.
Thank you for speaking to that. Yeah, who can relate with what Stacey's sharing around, like, wanting to get it right and do it right and, yeah, feeling that pressure and then the inner, like, then we learn about awareness and we're like, why am I beating myself up? I should stop beating myself up. I don't have to be perfect. Yes, you do. It's like, ah! And then we just, like, put it down all together and eat chocolate.
It's hard because it's someone else's life. It's like, it feels like that. I guess I take it very seriously. It doesn't feel like, oh, it's just like, who cares if you're not the best? It's like, no, someone's like honoring space for you. You need to show up. You know, I think that's the root of it in a big way.
Mm. Yeah. Thanks for speaking to that too. Who else feels that like there's a factor of that going on? Like someone else's life. Yeah, it's not just with making, like, I'm cookies for somebody. It's like, let's talk about this really big deal stuff together here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for bringing that to the table, for sure. This is great, because this is where we're going to be touching on a lot of this stuff later in the call. So just as a short thing to put on the table here, when we're transparent with ourselves, when we're honest with ourselves, and honest not in the sense of like, let's try to find the definition that matches what we think is real in the moment. No, like honest in the sense of like, okay, these are my capabilities right now. These are my skills. This is how far I am into learning about coaching. This is how many practice sessions I've had, like, you know, and just being honest with ourselves in that way. And without getting into this too much, like remembering that we do have a beginner's mind, that we are just starting out, and then being transparent with the other person, whoever they are, even if we're charging that, even if they're like a paying client, like, you know, I did just start my practice. I am learning. I am, or maybe not necessarily like I'm still learning, but like I'm a new coach, you know, I'm learning my chops, learning my skills. So just, it can feel really vulnerable to say that and share that. But there's a liberation in that as well, where one approach, I mean, I think this is, I can't remember how long I did this for. I'm not saying do what I did, but just as like an example, because there's no rules around this. There's no like, oh, you have to start charging at your 20th client, or you have to double your prices when you're blah, blah, blah. No, there's no rule of thumb around any of this. It's about being honest with ourselves and getting our egos out of the way for long enough that we can kind of assess what the more aligned decision or step is to make. So yes, we're dealing with another human being's life, and like, that's a big deal. But, and also one of the differentiators between this and therapy is that the other person is in the driver's seat still. They are empowered to say yes, no, maybe, like, no, I'm not comfortable with this. Like, they can at any time, and we get to empower them with that knowledge of like, you know, just, you're in the driver's seat, I'm here to help you like navigate. So we're not here to fix them. We're not here to give them answers. We're not here to even help them find their own. I mean, ultimately that's the direction, but it's more around, and I'll get into this more in a few minutes, but being willing to be present with somebody else and not know what's going to happen. Like letting go of everything else. Like, I'm going to be present with you. Here I am, like, and letting go of like, I brought all my toolboxes and like, I've been studying and I can like help you. I can ask the questions. Like, that's fun and that's great. And buddy coaching, like, yeah, go for it, you know, or your casual coaching sessions. But just be honest about, you know, like, you know, I'm kind of new at this. I'm just practicing, and that will help that fear, that like added fear of dealing with someone's life. Like, that can really alleviate it quite a bit. So I don't know. Does that make sense?
Totally. I like that a lot. That's good. Yeah. That's perfect.
Yay. Cool. And then Ash, feel free to check in and we'll kind of continue this topic.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. I am doing well, aside from what I posted in the Facebook group. It's good. Everything's good. I think, you know, still struggling with some time stuff. Well, I've set some boundaries with my consulting stuff, so that's really helped. It just makes it more, highlights how much more I enjoy the coaching stuff versus my consulting stuff when I get to spend an entire day. Yeah, I know. It's totally like that. When I get to spend an entire day on coaching, I'm like, this is what I want every day to be like, but it will get there someday. Anyway, so it's good. I think I also mentioned sometimes I just feel like I'm going from one thing to the next. And like, yes, I may have actually read a couple of chapters, but did I really have the time to like digest and integrate it and all of that before I moved on to the next thing? And so I need to figure out I need to take more time to, I don't know, digest or integrate or think about things versus going from one thing to the next. Even like, you know, after Sean and I, our calls and stuff, it's maybe like, well, take a little bit of a break because we're usually sitting for a while, but get up and like maybe come back to it and kind of integrate some of the stuff that we just talked about and reflect on some of that. So there's that thing, but then also related to the competence thing, which has been that I've been aware of in the last couple of days, and it happens, you know, we go ebb and flow all the time, in the last couple of days, I had this conversation with this woman who, she's also a new coach, and she was telling me about some of her, like, client conversations and stuff that she's had, and just the stuff that, how she was able to, I don't know, the stuff that she was able to do in real time and the questions and how she was, you know, able to turn, you know, help her client turn some stuff around and ask these powerful and specific questions just made me like doubt my abilities. I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing that you were able to do that with your clients. And I'm like, but am I able to do that? I don't know. Like, sometimes I feel like I'm struggling for what else to do, and or like maybe I'm not asking the right thing or going deep enough with the client. And I know this is a theme that's come up for me, you know, ever since I've started coaching, but just being able to dance in that moment and letting that just happen is sometimes where, you know, where I get stuck. I feel like, or I question my ability and whether I'm actually able to do that. And then what I spoke to, like, even like Vaughn and I, when we have our conversations and we're like, lately we've been doing some of the case studies and stuff. I'm like, oh, why didn't I could have thought of that? Or why didn't I pull that out? Or I need to be listening for that or all of that. And so I try to tell myself that, yes, I know I'm just starting out and I'm new and all of those things. And I obviously run all these conversations in my head, and then when I really need to, I voice them to my husband, and he reassures me as well. He's like, you're new. If it was easy, everybody would be a coach, but they're not. So hello. So I just get caught up in my head, and it's been one of those, like, the last couple of days have just been a little bit down. Cause last week I had great conversations with some of my clients, and then, I don't know, yesterday I had that conversation with that woman, and then earlier in the day, I had an initial, a first session with a client who told me she was overwhelmed by everything. That's great. I was like, I didn't mean to overwhelm you. I'm just straight out, meow. There's some deeper coaching needed too that Fawn will bring up, in terms of, she fully admits she's with a narcissist but still is doing, she even says he's a narcissist, but still is doing things like, oh, well, I need to just go buy a house to get out of the current apartment that I'm in so we can actually put things up on the wall. Anyways, but we'll talk about that later. And yeah, I don't know. I just had some self-doubt and confidence issues going on. I think it comes down, and I try to question, like, where is some of this coming from? And I know, Stacey, we've talked about this too. Like, I just need more practice and get more practice. but it just still makes me question my ability in real time to be able to dance in the moment with the client. Long story short, sorry.
Thanks, Ash. Yeah, I can relate. Who can relate with Ashley? Yeah. Yeah. So I have some exercises for you ladies. Go ahead and grab your notebook and pen, or if you don't feel like writing right now, that's okay too. You just kind of ponder. I'm going to ask you ladies some questions. And I will specifically focus on Stacey and Ash because they brought this up, but Herky, Kim, Aliana, feel free to raise your hands and offer up your feedback as well. Okay, so we're going to do a little dismantling here. We're going to use our clarifying questions, curiosity, mind to dive into this world that is happening inside of these moments and inside of your experience when these moments happen. So I think what I'm hearing, just want to make sure there's nothing I'm leaving on the table here before we move forward. I'm hearing that there's a theme around confidence, around not feeling confident and then maybe feeling a little confident and confident, but then not confident. And there's like, it doesn't feel stable. It doesn't feel like persistent. It's a bit volatile, if you will. Fragile, kind of. Is that accurate? Up and down. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it sounds like there's a story or a... It sounds like confidence exists inside of your paradigm. And that might sound super obvious, but confidence is something that is occupying space in your experience. And this concept of confidence is what I'd like to explore with you ladies for a few minutes here. I'll post these questions in the group or in the action items as well. Okay, so the first question is, what is confidence? What is confidence? I'll give you like 20 seconds, 30 seconds to think about that and then check in. What is confidence? Okay, I'm going to add a question to that. I'm going to tack something on here. What, what is your experience with confidence? What is your experience with confidence? I'm going to leave that super open-ended. Okay, next question. How do you know when you are feeling confident or when confidence is present? How do you know? How do you measure that? And on the other side of that coin or question, What is your experience like when you're not feeling confident? Take about 10 more seconds to jot that thought, and I'm going to ask one final question. All right. Last question of this group, this set. What is it about confidence that feels so important? Or what is it about confidence that feels important to you? Or that is important to you? Maybe 20 more seconds. Digest that one. Okay, one more. This one's important too. Okay, final question. I'll give you 30 seconds to kind of close out your answering here. When confidence is important to you, where is your focus? When confidence is important to you, where is your focus? Give 15 more seconds.
I already hate this one.
Ah!
I'm like, gosh, dang it.
Ooh, I'm excited. Direct communication time. Awesome. Okay, go ahead and finish your thoughts there, ladies. Okay. I'm also noticing that we're at the hour, so this could be a good time to take a break and then we'll come back and answer these, or do you guys want to answer and then we'll take a break after that? I'm just sensing that this could be another 15 or 20 minute conversation, so raise your hand if you want to take a break now and come back. Ooh, you guys want to get uncomfortable. Okay, let's do it. Awesome. So, Stace, I'll let you go first since you're feeling some kind of way about it. What came up for you with those questions? And you are welcome to share your kind of read your answers in succession, or you're welcome to let's do that. Actually, I think I'd love to hear all of them.
So I put, what is confidence? Secure, know what I'm doing. Experience with confidence. I feel like I need to know what I'm talking about. Like, I want to be like, in my industry, I want to be the expert where, like, you ask me a question, I'm like, oh yeah, there's this and this. I'm not like, you know, I actually don't know that. Let me go find that out for you. I mean, I do that all the time, but I feel the most confident when I'm like, oh, I got my shit down. I know what I'm talking about. This is awesome. This is where I started getting uncomfortable. Which I knew this already, but just still, like, when you see it over and over, it's like, gosh, damn it. But I definitely measure it off of other people. Like, I measure my confidence. I read the room. I read people's body language. I read their reaction to me. And I gauge that. It's like I have a barometer of, like, they're feeling good. I'm feeling good. That's awesome. Like, I need them to feel good for me to feel good. Not feeling confident. I'm a freeze person, which also makes the procrastination make a lot of sense because I just start to go into like shutdown mode. If I'm forced to do something, which is usually the way I will progress through something I'm not feeling confident in, which is why I did good in school or something like that, because it's like, do the assignment. Okay, well, I'm going to do the assignment. And then you kind of push through. But I will feel very anxious, super nervous, heart racing. What about confidence feels important? Not failing, feeling good enough, feeling worthy. I mean, those are like big, big, big stories in me in general, which I already know, you know, so it's like, that's why I was saying gushing and this is like not comfortable because it's, I can see the big picture of like, oh, this plays out in a lot of areas. That's great to know. It is good to know. I do want to know it. And again, confidence important to you. What was the last one? Because that was an important one.
When confidence is important, where is your focus?
It's on other people. I mean, it's completely like reading. I mean, that's my job right now. It's like I read rooms of people and see, like, gauge, like, how satisfied they are with the content that I'm providing. And I'm good at that, you know, but it's kind of built this internal structure of like constantly seeking the confidence from other people versus like, I know what I am. I know what I'm providing. I'm walking into this situation with that. It's like, I'm walking in blind every time in a certain sort of sense. And then like reading, gauging, adjusting, modifying to make an audience happy. Because I'm selling, you know, if that makes sense. Yay for that.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. So share again what it is about confidence that's important to you.
My focus or, oh, what about confidence feels important? Not failing, feeling good enough, and feeling worthy are the first things that pop into my mind.
Thank you. Okay. All right. So I'm curious. I'm going to hop to Ashley and then I'm going to do a couple things and we're going to hop back into this. And this is great. But I'm curious to know, Stace, you shared there was like a realization or an insight of like, ooh, this is happening on a bigger scale than just this is showing up as like a larger theme.
I think for me, it was that I see others as I look at my notes. Yeah. It's like all based on other people, which other people are just other people. So they could be anywhere in their experience or their life. So if you're constantly gauging your confidence on other, it's, I guess it clicked for me why that feels so unsteady and why that feels so scary and why it also feels so satisfying when it hits. Cause you're like, oh, I just killed that. But it's like, I totally can see, like, it just kind of clicked like, oh gosh, that's kind of, that's like a really shaky ground to be on all the time and not a confident place. It's actually not confidence is what it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's just seeking approval and getting approval. And that is equating to confidence.
Mm. Wow. Wow. All right, I'm going to let you sit with that. That was amazing. So, woo. Thank you, Stace. Okay, I'm going to circle back to you in a couple of moments here. Ash, what came up for you?
So some similar stuff in terms of, especially when you start writing out all the answers, and I know this, but it's like when you start actually writing it out, it's like, oh, well, yeah. Similar stuff around the whole, like, it's all external validation, right, that I'm looking for. And, yeah, like what Stacey said, like who, like it's other people that I'm seeking this validation from, right? So why? What's going on there? Why can't I let go of that? Because it's been something even, you know, I had the same stuff come up around my corporate job and life in general and all of that. So there's that. The question around... Sorry, I'm looking at my answers.
Take your time.
Well, I think there's some other stuff that came up before that. But the question, the last question you asked around where is your attention if you're, I don't know, when you're thinking about confidence. For me, I actually had the opposite of what Stacey said. My answer, which made me sad, I was like, oh, well, it's on my freaking self and not on my client when I'm. Like when I'm obsessed with feeling confident. So how helpful is that? Right. So for me, that was like, that was eye opening there. 'Cause I'm like, I can't always be worrying about like my confidence and how I'm coming across, because the lead up to that is a lot of like, what is your, you know, how do you feel when you're confident and all that? And I feel like clear and articulate and that I'm not like bumbling around like an idiot and with whatever I'm saying and that I'm actually adding value and all of that. But if I'm so focused on what I'm need to say or what I'm about to say, or if I'm coming across as confident, then that's not it. Any benefit to my client, like in my client conversation. I need to be focusing more on, obviously, on them. So that's what came up with that.
Thank you. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no. With question five there, I need to sit with that a little bit more because there's something deeper there. What first came to mind when you said, what is it about confidence that's so important to you is, you know, to feel like I'm actually helping my clients, that I'm actually adding value. But I didn't have time to finish. There's still something deeper there that I need to reflect more on, I think. And so that was the only other thing that I want to add.
Can you say that last one again? What's so important? Feeling like you're providing value.
Adding value, like that I'm actually adding value, providing value to my clients or to whatever thing that I'm working on, which again plays into the external validation stuff. But there's, when I was doing that, there is something deeper there that I can't quite grasp right now. Mm-hmm. Beyond just the insight around external validation and that.
Okay. So I'm wanting to make sure I'm tracking here that last question. So confidence is important. There's adding value to your clients, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
yeah.
Like being valuable to them, adding value for them. And then there's confidence. I understand that when you add value for your clients and it's like obvious that your confidence goes up.
Right.
Okay, is that why confidence? My quite curiosity, even though it's a why question,
yeah.
Is why is confidence so important to you, or what is it about confidence that's so important to you?
Yeah, that is why. Like, I want to feel like I'm adding value.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's what makes confidence, like feeling confident, important to me. But when I say that and when I think about that, there's got to be, I don't know, to me, there feels like there's something on a deeper level there about beyond just wanting to make my, there's, I don't know, there's a deeper connection that I have with confidence or feeling confident, I think, that I want to explore, that I need to explore and like reflect on, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good noticing. I really appreciate that you're sensing that, like, ooh, there's some stuff down there to explore. Not down there, I'm like holding my hands down here, but to explore. Yeah, awesome. My clarification question, I'm wondering, I have a curiosity still actually around like confidence then brings value to the client, or bringing value to the client gives confidence, which then gives value to the client, like I'm the directionality or the causality of it. And there may not be an answer for this, but I'm not quite clear like how like confidence is important to you. Because it, if you're feeling confident, it means you're providing value to the client? Or
I think it may be it may be the opposite. I feel confident if I feel like I've provided value to the client. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Yeah. Okay. And providing value to the client is really important to you.
Right.
So confidence is kind of a gauge of that, if you will.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Clients experiencing value. Confidence is one way I know that's happening.
Yeah.
In a way. Something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Who else would like to share an insight or a highlight that came up for them? Herky, Kim, Aliana, Sam, yeah, thank you.
Okay. So what is confidence? To me, believing in myself despite assumed or actual opposing opinions. What is my relationship with confidence? It is linked to either my ability or inability to do something, or perfection or imperfection of doing something. How do I know I'm confident? I express myself verbally or with action with little or no worry about others' approval, which I love the way Stacy said it's shaky. I wrote that. what is my experience when I'm not confident? I'm quiet. I hide behind others. I don't take initiative or action. I'm wondering what the other person is thinking, and usually I'm sensitive to how they're acting or what they're saying. Not really listening to what it is, but kind of judging their actions towards me, I think is really what I'm doing. What is it about confidence that's important? It would allow me to be myself and love myself. Yeah, that one was, when I wrote that, I was like, oh, but it was an honest answer. So when confidence is important to me, where is my focus? I'm able to authentically hear and view other people. And enjoy whatever it is that's going on. Because I'm not busy reading other people's actions or words.
I'm going to tease that apart a little bit because there is a bit of nuance, and I just want to make sure that I'm being clear on my end about that question. So where is your focus or attention when confidence is important to you? So when confidence is something that is not when it's like with you or not with you, but when confidence is something that you're aware of how confident you are or are not, right? Meaning holding some kind of importance. Where is your attention or your focus when it's important to you? Does that make sense? I know it's a little meta.
You need me a little bit more because I'm going along. But.
Mm-hmm. So when you when you're aware of your level of confidence or when you're aware of your interpretation of how confident you're feeling, where is your attention or your focus? So when it's important to you.
Okay. So when it's important to me, where, and so we're not talking about in the moment when I'm confident. We're talking about when it's important to me. So right now, when it's important to me, where is my focus?
Yes.
Oh. I don't know, Paloma. That's
okay.
Okay. When it's important to me, where is my focus? So on what part of me am I focusing on? My confidence being.
Or where, oh, here, let me draw a quick analogy. So if I'm walking on a tightrope or a plank, balance is really important to me. Like I am aware of how important balance is in this moment because if I go off either side, you know, it might be 2 inches off the ground. But let's say there's some kind of a risk there. So when balance is important to me, where is my focus? My focus is like, don't fall, you know, like stay on the stick or whatever the thing is. Versus if I'm walking down the street, I don't think about my balance. I mean, most of the time, you know, unless I'm like on tricky terrain or something, but otherwise, you know, maybe that's not necessarily something that is important to me to hold in my consciousness or hold in my awareness.
Oh, okay. So if I'm understanding you correctly, self-love, would that be?
So I'm going to ask this from the opposite direction because this is the question I wanted to ask everybody for this next round anyway. So it's kind of a perfect segue. That's great. So if confidence was, and this is for all of you, and you'll have 30 seconds to 45 seconds to write your answers. So if you can imagine a scenario where typically your awareness of confidence is happening, what would it be like? What would your experience be like if confidence was not even important to you? Just like not even a thing. Just no thought of it at all. How would you feel? Maybe what would your mood be like? How would you show up? How might your awareness change or your experience change if confidence is just not a thing?
Oh.
We'll do 15 more seconds. maybe for the last few seconds to think about in contrast to what you shared around how it shows up, what it means to you, the kind of previous first phase of sharing we just did, and then check in with if confidence wasn't important, how might any of that be different or the same? Okay, 10 more seconds. Okay. We'll come back to the circle. And if it's okay, Kim, I'll invite you to share what came up for you.
Okay, so now I think I understand, but if I'm still lost, just throw up your hands and just give up on me. But
we're just exploring here. There's no lost or found necessarily.
So the last question you just asked, if confidence didn't matter, what would be my experience? I would be happy. I would be comfortable in any situation and doing my thing. Okay, so then in the other one, when confidence is important to me, where's my focus? Maybe being accepted, would that be?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And where would you, let's take it one step further, mm-hmm. where is your attention when your attention is on being accepted?
On other people. And whether or not they're approving of whatever I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And if they like it or not.
Okay. And what happens when your attention is there? When it's on other people, what they're thinking, they're approving or not. What is the experience like?
Oh, then it depends on if I speak up, if I get quiet, you mean like that, or how I feel.
How does it affect you?
I feel hidden, like not there. I feel like it's going on and I'm here. And even sometimes if I have something to express or say, or there's an action I can take, I just don't. And then when my action or something I could have said could have helped, I then feel stupid or horrible, like, why didn't I just speak up? Like, why don't I think that my input mattered at that moment? Like, why did I let somebody else put theirs in? And it could have made the situation better or worse, but I question myself. I feel like certain kind of guilt, and just feel like I'm grown. Why don't I speak up, or, you know, so I guess I feel like a child because I don't. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. Who can relate with some of what Kim said there about, first off, like kind of first layer there, attention being on other people when confidence is important. External, yeah. And then the approval attached to that, kind of like hiding or just like it's not worth it to say anything. Like I'm nervous. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you, Kim, for offering that up. Yeah. Herky, did anything come up for you around the question of if confidence wasn't even a thing? What would that be like? Hi, Aliana.
Yeah, so immediately what came to me, you said what kind of scenario or whatever was not important to me. I felt like in taking care of my kids, I don't care I'm confident or not. I'm the first word that came to me is free and be myself. So I don't care they break something or I mess up or they do it or I don't need to be get a certificate of confidence. I am just going to show up as a mom. So it is such a freeing thing. But then I just thought about it. It was not always like this, though. When I had my first child, my first week, my first 2 weeks, I was super nervous about every little sneeze, every little, you know, onesie is buttoned properly or not. But now I can close my eyes or they could scream and I just told them, is anybody hurt? No? Okay, fine. You know. So maybe it's something that builds up over time. But the second question, what's your, one of the questions I answered, confidence to me is when I intrinsically feel sure of myself and able to express freely without any fear of judgment. I wrote. But the last question was, I don't know, was like, felt like it nailed it, you know, what I was feeling, like, you know, this confidence thing.
Like, tell me more.
You said if confidence was not even important to you, up until now it was all about what I feel and then where the focus is, so I put work, you know, like that focus question, and I was like trying to get all the pieces together, and suddenly you say if it's not even a thing, and I'm like, there you go, like with my kids, it's not even a thing, and see how free I am. And I want to show up like that way, free with, you know, with my work too, my coaching too, and you know, and I also understood that it's not that it immediately came, it came probably with practice, or maybe, I don't know, some people have it inherent in them or whatever, but it did come to me, you know, so it just felt very freeing. I don't know, it's like a, I don't know any other word for it, but that's how it felt, like liberating and freeing. You know.
Tell me more about freeing. What does it feel like when you feel free?
I feel like I can show up myself, all parts of myself, the good, bad, ugly, and it's also unconditional, where the other person can also show up however they want to show up. So it's a beautiful human experience. I don't know. So when you're free. Yeah.
Would you say you feel confident when you feel free?
It's not even a thing. You know?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, so it's like you said, balance is important, but when you're walking on the road, balance is not, I mean, you're not thinking about it, right? Mm-hmm. The same thing, it's when I'm free, it's not even a thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Herky. Beautiful share. Yeah. Aliana, I don't know if you've had if you've been playing along with us, but if so,
yes,
I'd love
I
to
have.
Share anything that's coming up for you.
Okay, so the last question. For me, it would be, I would be in the zone and, like, in the moment. I wouldn't be so focused on being perfect and having it all figured out. Sorry, I don't know if that's Logan or my dog. I would definitely be my authentic self, and I would be in alignment with my divine essence. So... yeah, that's where I would be.
So powerful. My goodness. Who else has a sense of that, that if confidence wasn't even a thing, there would be a focus, an authenticity, alignment with, like, who you actually are authentically? Yeah, beautiful. Thank you for speaking to that. Yeah. Beautiful. Okay, I'm going to circle back to... Stacey and Ash, well, here's what I'm thinking. I'm going to take a step back here. So we're 35 after. This is awesome. I'm really, as long as this is a value to you ladies, like, this process is I think there's like so many layers of awesomeness happening right now. So I'd love to spend some more time exploring this, but I want to check in. Like, does anybody need to take a bathroom break? Okay, I'm going to go to Stacey and Ashley and share. You do? Okay, cool. Let's take 5 ladies and we'll come back at 40 after.
Wait, I can wait until after. I can wait until after. I need a bathroom break in like 2 minutes or something.
Well, it's probably not going to be 2 minutes because I'm going to invite Stacey to share and then you to share. So we can break. Yeah, right. Let's break and then you guys can share. We'll do a little more discussion about this and then we'll see where we're at.
Cool.
Okay, awesome. See you guys in 5. Come on back, ladies. Awesome. Okay, so Herky's wandering back to us. I'm going to go ahead and just pick up our conversation here. So, Stace, what, any insights or thoughts for you around without, this wasn't even a thing.
Yeah, like the number 7 or in general, the whole thing.
Number 7, yeah.
No, that was like, it's almost like a joke, honestly. It was like, oh my gosh. I wrote instantly, like, fun, free, playful, happy, childlike, like, how I am and always have been in the world, but I've kind of built this other persona that's like, I can trace it back to almost like elementary school of like fitting in the educational system of like, I wasn't like a natural, like smart kid necessarily. And so starting it probably there and, you know, building that. And it's like built this like robot of me that's kind of like, oh, this is the one where I can get like, I need to know what I'm talking about. I need to, you know, I can't just walk into a room, but I can, right? Like the event I was telling you about last night, it truly was just, I didn't even bring product with me or anything. I was just like, I'm just going to be present with you guys. And it was amazing and it was heartfelt and everyone, and I was like, walked away and I was like, I provided so much just being myself in that situation for them. And that was more than anything I could have shown them. And yes, as a salesperson at the end of the day, if I want to keep my job, which I don't even know if I do, I have to do that, right? But so I can see the construct kind of breaking down, I guess, is what I'm saying. Like I can see it, but I think it is going to be like, I can also see how long it's been there. Does that make sense? I don't know. That's what I saw.
Thank you so much. Kind of, yeah, go ahead.
I put almost like, I always say it's like I feel in the flow. I think I've said that to you before. Like I, and Fawn, I have felt that from you from the beginning of like there's certain people where I'm like, we're like literally jumping in a river and we're just in the current together. And there's no like, wait, I got to hold on to this branch or this rock. It's just like, nope, we're going in the flow and we're going to trust this flow. And it's kind of like that feeling of like, I can be in that current. I can not have to like have my reservations. If that makes sense.
Yeah, beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. Wow. It's so powerful. Every piece of that is so powerful. The first grade. Yeah. Feeling like we learn how to be what we need to be to like just make it, right? Yeah. Beautiful. So it sounds like presence is the natural state, or presence is a way of being that is present when confidence isn't there.
And there's something about knowing. I keep writing that. Hmm. I keep writing like, I don't need to know everything to be confident. There's something, it's like in all of my notes, you know, I just keep seeing that word over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of makes sense with the reading, it's like in the attention to the notes and the like, it has to be like I know it all so I can be, rather than just I am, and I am learning. And that's where I'm at today, and tomorrow will be a different day, and the next day will be a different day. And today is fine. It's totally fine.
Wow. How does that feel, that
I mean, I get it. Like, I get it. That's why I was like, gosh, dang it. Like, I see it and I get it and it feels so good. It feels so good. But it does feel, I do also feel like there's unraveling, like it's been there for a long time. Like I, when Fawn, you and I were talking, it's like to give that up. This is kind of a story I've told myself for a long time about being good enough and being the thing, and to give that up. It's like, it's not, I feel that it's like, it's not going to happen today. It's going to be a constant practice of like giving that up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Woo. Jesus Christ. That was so bright.
See, we're in the flow. We're in the flow.
Oh my God. This is the way. That was really intense. Whoa. I think you just released some stories, Stace.
Remember our first session I was saying about the light?
Yes.
Coming from you? Just saying.
Oh, my God. In a good way, lightning, in a good way. So, and that's okay that it feels like it might take a while for this to shift or something to change, or for, you know, that's okay that it feels like that may or may not be true. It feels true, and that's okay. What's beautiful is that things are cracking open for you and you're seeing the diamond inside of the layers of stuff, right? And that's super beautiful. And this might sound like an obvious question, but my curiosity is around, like, in first grade, when you became the version of yourself that learned how to fit in, kind of that robot, what was it about knowledge or being smart or knowing things that, how did that influence her or that version of her?
That is so funny. The first thing that I won this writing award in first grade, I'd like the, out of the whole school district, it was all of the first, everyone won in each grade, and I won in first grade for all the school district. And I wrote this, oh my gosh, this is just kind of too silly now. I wrote this little story of about being a dog. And it was like, if you were an animal, what would you be? And I wrote, I would be a dog. I would wag my tail if strangers came. I would, it was all about being like the perfect dog. And I won this award for being like the perfect little dog. Yeah, I'm serious, Vaughn. Like, that's like, I can't believe you just asked that question.
Talk about reinforcement.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, it was not a good story at all. It was like, oh, here's a, this girl wants to be a good girl. And then I win this huge award. It's published in this thing. I look back, I'm like, that's not even a good story. I shouldn't have won. I think it was just that, you know, that for me. Not just that story, but that I wrote that story because that's where my mind was at as that first grader.
And then you won an award for it. So it's like reinforcing that times 10. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I'm going to shift over to Ash here. What came up for you, Ash?
Yeah. So when I answered the questions, the first thing that I wrote, similar to what Herky was talking about, is like, if I let that go, if confidence wasn't important to me, I'd be free, and I would feel liberated, and I would feel like myself, and I wouldn't be worrying about it. And I wrote, I'd be more present in the moment. And I also wrote, I'd probably feel more confident. And then I went, whatever that means. It's like,
right.
Freaking thing. But just, yeah, like more freeing, liberating, more myself, happy. And I guess, yeah, I mean, I feel like there's some obviousness there. Like, you know, confidence is what it is in terms of how much importance you place on it. But for me, what also came up is there are some parallels here with how I feel about my, like, where I'm at with my consulting work and where I'm at with coaching. Because I, with my consulting stuff, I have let go of the whole confidence thing. I don't care as much, if I'm going to be honest. And so I show up differently on, like, calls and on my consulting calls. I show up as a confident person, actually. I speak up more. I'm more articulate because I've let go and I don't fucking care. I mean, I care. I'm always going to do a good job. But I've let a lot of that go. And so, yeah, the parallel is that obviously I'm always going to care about coaching and whatnot, but I do need to let go of that for me to show up as my, like, as my comfortable self, as myself, just like I'm doing on, like, with my consulting stuff. Because I'm still there. I'm more present in the moment. I'm more myself, still rocking it on the consulting stuff. I can still probably do that with the coaching stuff, too, if I just let go of some of that.
Wow. What an amazing thing that you have that point of contrast.
Yeah.
Wow. To, like, okay.
Yeah.
This hat?
Without the hat. Right. Exactly. And it's like, oh, well, no shit. Like, of course I'm more, like, confident in stuff with my consulting stuff now because I've let go of some of that. And I show up in a different way. But, yeah. And it's like, of course, it's like, let go of some of this. It sounds so easy. I mean, we'll see how I actually, like, do it and integrate it and whatever. But, yeah.
All right. Let's see here. At the beginning of this inquiry around confidence, this exploration, raise your hand if confidence felt like between a 5 and 10 on the importance scale, 10 being like super, super absolutely 100% the most important thing, 0 being not at all. How important did it feel for you when we started talking about this? Between 5 and 10, raise your hand, like pretty important, like affects you, keep your hands up. How about between 6 and 10? 7 and 10? Huh? Before the call. Before the conversation. Importance of confidence. Okay. How about when you really tune into yourself and how confidence has been affecting you lately, your experience of it? Keep your hand up if it's felt between like an 8 and a 10. 9 and a 10. It's felt like a 10. I think it's really important. 9, 10-ish. High end of the spectrum. Like cranking those speakers way up there. Okay, and now I'm going to shake that off for a second, tune back into the present moment. Raise your hand if confidence feels like between a 5 or a 10 to you right now of importance. Ish, like round a 5, hovering around a 5. Okay, so it's like still there, but it's significantly... Oh, what was that? I'm going to unmute you, Kim. Oh, I can't unmute you. Were you saying like 5? 4 or 5? Okay. How about below a 4 for anyone? Like how important confidence is to you now that we've kind of explored, processed?
If I look back at what I wrote for number 7, I mean, it's real down low. But it's also hard to kind of like really feel that in my gut, I guess, is what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get it.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, the awareness is there, mm-hmm. but whether the embodiment is there, I have to see.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Well, I think after Ashley said what she said about letting it go, then I wanted to know what you gonna talk about today that was gonna help me realize why my brain does that. because what Ashley said was, when I don't care. And I was like, oh, wait. My internet is. When she said, so when I don't care, and I was like, well, wait, how do I make myself not care? You know, so then it was just amazing, because I was like, well, then how, I don't know, it was just weird. Could you hear me at all? I'm sorry.
Yeah, keep going. It's choppy, but I want to hear. I want to hear the rest of what's processing for you. I think you're back.
Oh, okay. So I just felt like if I could control that, let it go. If I could, because I don't even know what I'm holding on to. But so I think it was crazy the way she said that, because I get it. The thing that you used to worry about, you're not worried about. So now you do it, and it's nothing. And but then that, like, you have this new thing that you start caring about, and then you can't do it because you're worried about it. So I want to know what I need to do. So I think when she said that, it made the confidence thing, because then I felt like, well, then confidence isn't what I need. So that's why I said it was so low, because it was like, okay, that's not the thing then. So what is the thing, Fawn? Because I
oh, this is so good, Kim. Something really clicked for you, huh? It sounds like something, Ashley, the way she said it. What was it that you said, Ash, the way that you said it? If you didn't care.
I said, so with my consulting stuff, and because I have let it go and I don't care as much about it. So when I do show up on like conference calls or providing what my opinion or whatever, I speak up more. I come off confidently, whatever that means. I come off articulate, but it's all because I've stopped caring about it. I've let it go. I've stopped caring how I come off. I am myself. I am present in the moment. I come to that conversation just being in the moment and not caring about, oh, I need to, like, what I'm going to say or how, what insight I'm going to have or whatever. But like Kim also put it beautifully, it's because I stopped caring and worrying about the old thing, and now I have this new thing that I do very much so care about, but it's getting in the way of me showing up as myself. Like, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Wow, this is really fun. I'm going to zoom out a bit here. We just went like super, super into this. And I was going to do this whole talk about neuroscience. I will a little bit, but I'll, you know, record the rest later or something for you ladies. This was far more important. And in fact, like the most exemplary way we could have explored what it is that I am going to be sharing with you. Now you have this frame of reference and you all had it together, which is fucking really cool. So when I share the neuroscience stuff and physiology, it'll, like, you can track it based on what just happened here, which is, I just, thank you, universe. Awesome. And thank you, ladies, for being willing to completely be improvisational with this. So, I encourage all of you to continue reflecting on what happened here tonight, like what happened here in this exploration that we've done. I will put the questions in the group, in the Facebook or the action items. And as you mentioned, you spoke to so well earlier, Ash, sometimes we tend to like read something, move on, experience something, move on, right? It's like it's just life becomes this like constant next thing. And we don't, sometimes we don't take a beat or like take some time to like sit with what just happened, like, whoa, right? And like allow it to like simmer in. So with coaching with yourselves, with your clients, anything that's important to you, a dinner with a loved one, a movie that really just hit home, if there's feeling, if there's insight, if there's meaning to what's happening, my gosh, the wind is crazy. See if you can take some space to acknowledge the experience and acknowledge, like, allow for whatever to come through, or settle from that instead of just hopping on into the next thing. All right. So Kim's question. So what do we do, Fawn? How do we connect all these dots? How does all of this fit together? Awesome. Yeah, such a great, this is just like too good, such a good teaching tool. So confidence, as we just explored, right? There was a story that we came into, or you came into, a lot of you did, with like confidence is important. I need to feel confident. This is what confidence looks like. And I need to feel this, have this in order to feel good about myself and in order to show up the way that I want to show up. So this like thing seemed like it was pretty darn important in the whole equation here, right? Circling back to that question of like when confidence is important, where is your focus, right? So it's so amazing to check in with ourselves and ask, like, anytime you're feeling off or nervous or anxious or insecure or anything like that, directly go up to your thinking, check in with yourself. Okay, what am I thinking about right now? What am I feeling nervous about? What are the stories that are playing? And just take that zoom out just enough to like notice what's happening. Just know, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to change it. You don't have to do anything. Just like, oh, okay, I was just thinking about the speech I have to give tomorrow or what have you, right? And so zooming out of that, but then ask yourself, do this inquiry if it's helpful, but just the zooming out and asking, like, what would my experience be without this? What would it be like if I just didn't have this? Okay, if I didn't have this sensation, this fear around the speech tomorrow, and I just didn't care, but I didn't care, right? And I am prepping, still prepping for the speech, but I like don't care. I don't, whatever that fear was made out of is no longer here. What would that feel like? And ladies, if you feel higher vibration, if you feel more yourself, if you feel more authentic, if you feel more at ease and in flow and authentic and honest with yourself and honest about the experience in the experience, if you're more aligned with the thriving version of yourself when something is not there versus when it is there, it's an old archetype, it's an old tape that you can eject and you don't have to carry it around anymore. It's you can almost guarantee that it came from somewhere else a long time ago. And you don't have to carry it. You don't have to keep it. There might be some message in it. There might be some, you know, make sure that you are prepare as best as possible and, you know, do your best in the moment. So maybe there's some messaging around, like, you know, to optimize whatever it is you're about to do. But that messaging, you can keep that little bit of the messaging, and but you don't have to carry around the thing that's making you feel low vibration or separated from your natural feeling of thriving and freedom and authenticity. So that's a really good litmus test for you, for your clients. It's really, really good. So tuning into our feelings, am I feeling stressed? Am I feeling overwhelmed? Am I feeling like, okay, bloop, what's going on up here? What am I thinking about? What stories do I have right now? And do I need to keep this story that I need to be confident or that I need to get it right or that I have to know what to say? Like, let's look at the objective of the situation. If the objective is to deliver a speech to the best of my ability about something that I'm passionate about, if that's the objective, right, and this is, well, maybe the objective is for me to share a message that's really important to me with a lot of other people. If that's the objective, do I need the insecurity? Do I need the perfectionism? Do I need all that stuff that's like making me feel like a total wreck? No, I don't. Like, in fact, if I let it go, I'm probably going to give a better speech. So this is the like kind of, this is the undoing of the old tapes. This is one way of the undoing of the old tapes. And with our clients, we get to, as we're on our consultation calls, we're checking in with coachability, right? Are they coachable? And there are many things we look for in coachability, but one of the things that we're looking for in coachability is this person receptive and open to being wrong or inaccurate? Are they receptive and open to changing? Are they open and receptive to being uncomfortable? You know, are they willing? And so as much as we're tuning in with our clients, are they coachable? We get to ask ourselves, like, are we willing to let go of those old tapes because it just feels better? Just because it feels better. Like, we don't have to have a fucking reason. Like, oh, I'm letting go of the tape because ABC. No, like, we can just, I'm letting go of that tape because it actually feels real crappy and I keep it in the player. Are we coachable? Are we willing to let go? And Stace, you said something about like it's been there for so long, right? It's like it's familiar. Sometimes, paradoxically, but very, very much human, sometimes our gremlins, if you will, or these like archaic tapes that are hurting us, sometimes in a weird, strange way, they feel kind of like a blanket because they do something to help us feel like we're in control. Or they do something to like create an illusion that we're avoiding something painful. So there can be a resistance to letting them go. And this will happen in your clients. You'll see where they're like, yeah, I want to do this thing, but they keep doing the other thing. And maybe like Kim's client example may or may not apply here, but it could, you know, be that this woman, her sense of identity and meaning and value is predicated on being busy and being a people pleaser and all these things. So if she were to stop and put attention on herself, her inner ego might feel like it would be like getting crushed, right? So it's like, no, don't create time for yourself. Like, no. So it's totally normal that these things can feel like we want to argue for them sometimes, and we'll hear our clients argue for their limitations sometimes too. And well, don't I have to like be confident? I mean, confidence is important. We can't just walk around being like willy-nilly all the time. Well, let's unpack that story. Let's really unpack that story. Let's look at where there might be some cognitive distortions happening, which I'll be sharing with you ladies in a video this week. Let's look at where, you know, those that extreme polarity, it's like, I'm either confident or I'm willy-nilly and I'm an idiot. You know, it's like, okay, let's check in with like, is that true? And this, actually, Stace, after our call last week, and then tonight I was reminded again, there's a lyric from an Alanis Morissette song that has always really stood out to me. And the song is called Precious Illusions. And the lyric is, these precious illusions in my head did not let me down when I was defenseless, and parting with them is like parting with a childhood best friend. And that lyric is like, oh, I feel something now. Like, it's always been so powerful because these tendencies that we have, these tapes that we have them because it helped us survive at some point. 99% of the time, the stuff that is going on that isn't serving us, but we feel like we have to carry or do or be, it's stuff like as kiddos that like it was our kiddo trying to protect us. It was our kiddo just making it in this crazy social pressure bullying world, right? And those protective mechanisms, as we become adults, we no longer need them in that way. And there's a whole thing around like inner child stuff I'll get to later on down the line here in our journey, a couple weeks probably. So I just wanted to shed some light on that, that it's normal if you feel like your gremlins, you kind of need them. It's normal if they've been there for a long time. It's normal if you feel kind of conceptually getting something but not really feeling it in your body yet. That's totally normal. There's a lot of play here. But the important, the thing that's the most important is what you all did tonight, which is to check in with, is the story I have around this, is that actually true? Is the meaning that I'm placing, or the meaning that kind of came along with this maybe even, is that aligned with reality? Is that aligned with what's, you know, true? So, confidence specifically, and I won't go on too much about this. I'm going to talk about some more neuroscience stuff. But so confidence is, I got a bone to pick with it, because I think that it is, it's a social, obviously a social patterned ideal that is absolutely reinforcing conditional relationship with self. And we want to get off that fucking roller coaster. Like, I don't want to ride the conditional self roller coaster any more than I already have in my life. Like, I would much rather plant my feet on the ground and be like, I am unconditionally valuable and worthy. I'm doing my best and that's great, you know, as opposed to I'm confident because I did all the things and checked all the boxes and now I can say, and I feel confident because the people are responding in the way that I want them to make me feel like I'm good enough. And that whole ego trip is not necessary. I think it's a decoy. I think it's another way that we've been programmed to comply, fall into place, perform, etc. I'm not going to go into my conspiracy theories here, but when I look at the role that confidence plays, I'm just saying. Whereas, right, if we shift the definition of confidence, if we really tune in with like what authentic confidence feels like, authentic confidence is the feeling when we're not worried about being confident. Right? It's like, oh, I feel great. I'm chill. Like, I'm having a good time, you know? And that's the kind of confidence I think all of us are wanting to conjure and wanting to, like, feel into most of the time, is that freedom of self and that freedom of fluidity and that, like, just disappearance of performative good girl, bad girl, you know, got it right, got it wrong, didn't ask the question. Like, and it's not in this, like, zero fucks kind of way, like, dismissively, but it's in this way of, I am truly free to, I'm not on the conditional roller coaster. I am now like, I can play childlike in the present moment and I'm not gonna always do the right things or say the right things, and that's okay. Like, who cares? No one cares. I don't care. If someone cares, okay, cool. Like, that's, I'm curious. Why do you care? Right? Instead of like, oh God. they didn't like it. So a lot of these notes that I took prior to the call, actually, as so much of this is like explored so deeply and amazingly with you ladies. The one thing that I just want to highlight is around presence. When we're not tripping out about conditional self and performative stuff, and especially like confidence and feeling like being judged, we're only then are we able to be present. Only then. Like, presence is the ability to be in the moment without story, with self, with other, with, I don't know, fan, computer, right? So presence, true presence, that level two, level three listening and connection that we want with ourselves and our clients and everyone in our lives, confidence can't be there. Our like importance on it can't actually be there. It's kind of like we can't have like a peaceful hangout when the drunk frat boy from next door comes over and starts like telling us stories about his Saturday night, right? Like, that's what confidence does to presence. So when we prioritize presence over confidence, not meaning like, oh, I'm going to focus on the present, because like that's kind of paradoxical, right? But when we can just be and be here now and be here with ourselves and trust that we're, you know, we can handle whatever happens. Maybe we forget what to say. Maybe we sound like a doofus, whatever. Like, it's fine, right? And just allowing ourselves to, like Herky was saying with the kiddos, like just be free, then it's so interesting. But our best self, our most authentic and highest performative self naturally typically will come through. It's so interesting. So yes. So in your coaching sessions, I want to invite all of you to, and I get to remind myself of this a lot too, ladies. So it's not like I'm on this pulpit, like I just have more experience around this, but to make presence everything. Each and every single one of you are naturally talented in the way of connecting with people, meaningfully connecting with people. I know this for a fact. You're all incredible at being in presence with somebody else and being curious about them and wanting to serve them and wanting to be that support in the moment. So all these other coaching tools and things you're learning, yes, the more you do them, the more you're going to have in your momentary tool belt or what have you to kind of bring in with that or improvise with, if we're using a music analogy. But all of you can play the piano. All of you can, you got this, and maybe now we're learning different modes of playing the piano. But presence, if you focus just on presence, everything else you're reading and learning, it'll come through or it won't, but you will be there with that person. And I can guarantee you that the value that that person experiences from genuinely feeling your presence, because you can tell when someone's present and when they're not, right? Most of the time. It's pretty obvious when someone's not, we'll put it that way. So for someone to feel truly seen and heard and important enough for someone else to be there with them, not in their heads, not in their da-na-na, but right there with them, is fucking priceless. It is priceless. And helping them to just be with that curiosity and that process of what we did tonight with around confidence, right? Let's just explore it. Let's just see what's here. Kind of did have a thing lined up, but willing to shift in the moment and be, fuck it. Okay, neuroscience next week. I don't care. Because what's happening now is real and it's important and it's authentic and it's valuable, right? So presence is a beautiful focal point, because we don't have to any longer focus on letting go of confidence. We're not focusing on how do I get rid of the confidence? We can shift it to, how can I be more present? I noticed they're wearing this blue t-shirt. Ooh, their hair is kind of curly. They just said something and they started sweating a little bit. I mean, this is creepy level, but just for demonstration purposes, bringing presence in, focusing on our breath. Our breath will take us out of our head every single time. So practice your deep breathing. And my sister actually, oh, this is great. Can't remember when it was. It was with my mom and my sister. And this is last summer maybe or something. And she's like, why are you breathing so weird? We're just hanging out watching a movie or something. She's like, why are you breathing so weird? Why do you sound like you're suffocating? I was like, what are you talking about? What do you mean? And she's like, you're breathing really deeply. Are you okay? And I was like, oh yeah, it's totally fine. I've been really practicing carrying my slow, deep breathing with me in my days. And it got so automatic for me that I didn't even notice. And she was like, okay, that makes sense. So breath, regulating our breath. Breath is the antidote to 95% of anxiety, stress, overwhelm, because it brings us back into the present moment. And that focus, there's no room for anything else. So a couple more things here, and I'll have you ladies share. Actually, we can do takeaways, or I can talk about some neuroscience-y stuff, and then we'll do takeaways in the Facebook group. Because we've got 10 minutes left. Who would like to do takeaway round? Who would like to learn more about how all of this is connected and how it works? Okay, cool. All right, so this is all research-based. Everything, I'm happy to point you in the directions, send you the papers, et cetera. None of this is woo, like unsubstantiated. Even if it was, it's not like that's a bad thing, but I just really like to keep things grounded when it comes to like coaching, neuroscience of coaching. But the interesting thing is that we are all made of energy. It's like the same energy that creates everything, that's doing everything right now. All of us are made of that energy. So some call that spiritual. And I'm mindful of using the word energy as opposed to spiritual, just for the sake of like the way that it fits with talking about these kinds of things. But yes, I'm talking about like spirituality. I'm talking about the essence that we cannot see, feel, touch, see, or you know, or really control necessarily. So we're all made of this pure energy, and that's also scientifically substantiated. And we come into this world, right? We're oriented toward thriving, like we've talked about before. And we then start, we're like these pure potentialities of little beings that come into the world. And then we, over time, we're shaped, we're influenced by our environment, by our caretakers, by our socioeconomic status, by our religion, culture, what century we were born in, what part of the world, like community. There's like all of these factors that influence us. And what happens is, as humans with these gigantic efficient brains, is our brains, to be as efficient as possible, create what are called heuristics. And heuristics are basically like shortcuts. So it's wonderful that our brain does this, because this is how we like learn something. We practice our scales on the piano, and then pretty soon it's automatic, right? So our brain's like learning it's grooving neural pathways, but it's also creating a heuristic. Another heuristic would be environmentally. If there is a red hot coil on the stove and we have touched that before and it hurt, then we have a heuristic that, okay, shortcut, let's not do that again. So heuristics also occur in terms of the way we experience reality. And we start to create models of reality and maps of reality instead of the open interpretation of reality. So this is where we start to, you know, we adopt this from our experiences, but mostly from our environment. And so these models of reality and these maps of reality, we don't know any better, and we start to get confused, and we start to think the models and the maps are reality. So, AKA belief systems, right? The architecture of the programming and the thoughts that we adopt as when we're younger and very malleable and impressionable. So the models and the maps get layered onto us in conjunction with adjusting to our social dynamic and environment. So if we were told not to speak up in front of adults, then whoop, we're going to learn that real quick, because there's probably some consequences we don't want. So we not only learn the behavior of survival around that, we learn how to like silence ourselves and like slink back and kind of, you know, take on that behavior, but we also create a model of reality that says that I am not worthy here. I am not allowed to be here. I don't have permission to be here, right? So we start to make meaning out of the models. We start to make meaning out of the maps. And we carry these throughout our lives, not even knowing that we have this inner world that is created. And not actual reality. So... and every single one of us is walking around with this. Every single one of us has a unique set of models, maps, and meaning making that we have created as a result of our lives. So, and this isn't, you know, there's like ways that this impacts us in negative ways, but there's also ways that this impacts us in really positive ways, right? Like we learn how to survive socially, but also we probably learn some really beneficial models and maps, like not to talk to strangers or to not smoke weed with the boys in the bathroom or something like that, you know. So if we're fortunate, you know, if by the grace of the birth lottery, we arrive in a space where part of our model making is that we are good and worthy, then that's so fortunate. And yay, I wish that were the case for everybody, all of us, but most of us had some degree of conditional programming, if not from our parents and caregivers, then from our school, media, culture. I mean, it's fucking insane. Like, yeah, good girl, bad girl. If you're smart, you're good. Get good grades, get straight A's. If you're not smart in this one specific way that we're trying to shove it down your throat in the classroom, then you get C's, and then you go home and your parents are pissed and you get grounded and you feel like a piece of shit. And you might even get punished by your parents in worse ways. And so all of this happens to us in this really formative era, and we build all these heuristics, and what happens is our brains, being these efficient things, our subconscious mind, it doesn't know any better. So it's just like doing what we're telling it to do or what we're adapting to. And that's how 95% of our operating system becomes unconscious. It just efficiently makes these like quick routes to experiencing reality. So 95%, I looked up the most recent research on this. there's some really cool stuff coming out in the realm of neuroscience, but there's an estimate that 95% of what we think on any given day, we've already thought before. It's repeat. It's the same stuff we thought about yesterday, which leaves room for like 5% of our thoughts are new thoughts. And the most recent study from 3 weeks ago, actually, that was just published, says that we have 6,200 complete thoughts a day, because they figured out how to measure like the start and the end of it, of a thought. And 95% of those 6,200 thoughts we've already had before, that doesn't leave room for like very many new thoughts, right? So there's been a lot of studies also around like free will and choice, because we as humans, like, we're kind of obsessed with it. I know I am. Like, do we have it? Do we have free will? Like, because it seems like we're pretty darn on autopilot a lot of the time. And you'll hear, like, our clients are coming to us because their autopilot is not serving them, right? Like, their model of the world, their map of the world, their heuristics, their way of being is not getting them the results that they would like. So with free will, it's a really fun point of contention and debate in the scientific community, because there's like two camps. But essentially what the studies show is that we don't have free will and we do. So they like hook people up to these EEG sensors and they tell them there's like a stimulus on the screen and they ask them to raise their finger. But they say to make a gesture when they're having the thought, I'm going to raise my finger or not, something like that. But they're hooked up. And I think it's 300 or 400 milliseconds before they say that they made the thought, the synapses are already firing. So there have been kind of multiple studies checking this out from a few different angles. So our automatic processing, our subconscious mind is really efficient. It's so efficient that it tricks us into thinking that we're like choosing when we're not. Good news is that one of the ways to shift this is to do what we did tonight and to check in with our assumptions about the world, check in with our assumptions about beliefs, the meaning that we have around these beliefs. You know, and there's myriad ways to do this. We can ask, like, where did this come from? Is it from childhood? Is it like, you know, and there's a lot of value to exploring it. However, again, on a pretty awesome level, once we realize that the assumption that we were carrying around is inaccurate, like we actually like click, like it clicks for us. Something just happened in here. The neural pathways, the model, the model and the map cracked a bit, like separated. Like now the logic point can't quite connect the way that it was. Now there's like, oh, but wait, you know, like, oh, it's not there anymore. A plus B doesn't equal C, ah. Which is why Byron Katie's work, which is kind of what I sourced that in this process tonight, the most powerful question, I think, is who would you be without the thought? You know, but then she has an aspect of her work called the turnarounds. And that's when we update our operating system. We update our models of the world and we ask ourselves what is as true or truer than the original thought. So we're checking, not only checking in with our assumptions, but we're asking ourselves, what's a better assumption or heuristic to have, or like a more optimal one or more reality aligned heuristic. So all of this is to say that when we or our clients are showing up and we're getting suboptimal results, we're not, you know, getting what we want. That's what coaching is for. That's what we're here to help them do, right? Is like, they're a shiny diamond of light. We're a shiny diamond of light. And circling back to our very first foundations call, we get to help them check in with their assumptions and their maps and their models and notice which ones are not accurate, are not updated, etc. So that the diamonds, we can take those layers of blockage and like replace them with shiny, I don't know, amplification of some kind. So I'll pick up there in whatever video I create about this. Let me just see if there's anything else. Oh, okay. Yeah, kind of the most important thing. So all of this is not only possible, but it's actual. So this isn't theoretical, right? And it's experiential. So when we're in a call, when we're, you know, in presence with a client, if we're in presence with them and we're helping them get curious, it may feel like nothing happened. It may feel like, like they're like, well, that was, you know, that was interesting or something. And if we're focused on confidence, we're going to be like, damn it, you know. But if we were present and they just had the opportunity to explore at a depth they never had before, or maybe had, but with somebody else, that did something. It cracked the model. It cracked the map. The connection can't fire it the same way anymore because we helped them see where it's missing. So there's that. And lastly, I'll just kind of wrap here with like, we're all pure energy. And our models of reality are never truly reality. It's not like we're trying to build a real reality inside our minds. No, like, because it's still a model, it's still a construct. The question is, how can we build a model that is supportive and serves us and is helpful? It's just like our bodies. If we eat junk food all day, like, we eat really healthy, then we're going to feel healthier, but it doesn't change the fact that our body is our body. So with our minds and our thinking and our essence overall, we are pure energy. And I think the number one thing that is most important is that we remember that none of this is true. None of this is actually absolutely true. We just get to choose which tapes are most supportive. But if we could stop taking ourselves so damn seriously, and like, oh, this is super important. Like, I didn't do the dishes. The house is messy. I'm a wreck. I didn't ask the right questions. Like, if we can just remember, like, who cares? Like, I'm an energy being who's here doing my best. All these stories are just stories, whether they're good or bad. And we can stop taking ourselves so seriously. Like, that, I think, is the most amazing and liberating thing we can do for ourselves and as coaches. It's not about us. Like, our ego is very, very tricky. So if we can have fun in that childlike state, like we were before we realized there was an like an ego developed. If we can be present with our clients and ourselves like this, and like, who cares? Not in a like, fuck it way, but like, oh, don't sweat the small stuff, right? It changes everything. It changes everything, and we can play. So I'll wrap there. I have some other cool stuff to share, but I'll make a video about that at some point this week. All right. Thanks for staying over with me, ladies. If you have questions or if you want to do takeaway, I can actually hang for until 50 after. But whoever needs to hop off, please feel free to. And you can post, if you just post your takeaways and your questions in the Facebook group, that would be awesome. All right. Hands up for a takeaway or a question. Okay. Everyone's hopping off. Okay. We're wrapping up.
I can do a takeaway if you have time.
Yeah, I'm totally. Whoever needs to hop off, feel free to.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, Steve, what's up?
I thought that was really super cool. I mean, the whole thing was really powerful to really see how much. It's funny because I'm in a book club with two other gals that were kind of peers, and we're reading The Confidence Code. So this is like really kind of funny to me because, and we haven't really resonated with it. We're like in this book club and we're like, we meet and then we're like, what is there really to talk about? There's not really much to talk about. And we're meeting tomorrow. So I can't wait to be like, maybe let's flip the script on this one, on this book club. And I feel like that's what you did. You totally flipped the script. And it's something I've really, confidence is something I've really been struggling with. So I really just appreciated the whole thing. That's my thing. And I think the biggest, my biggest takeaway is when I was like saying, like, I get it and I see it and it did click, but I was like, but it's still like, how do I give it up? And you said, just because it feels better. And I was like, boom, I'm just going to give it up because it feels better. It does feel better. That's what I'm doing. I got it. That's what I'm doing. Cause it's
yes. Awesome. Oh my God. That's awesome.
That's mine, but amazing job.
Yay. Oh my gosh. That's huge. Wow. I'm so happy for you. Hell yeah. Feel as good as possible. As often as possible. Do it. Thanks, Faith. Ash, how about you?
So many. I think what comes to mind is the whole conversation around presence and like realizing my correlation with how I'm feeling now about like how I feel about the consulting stuff in terms of how I show up there and being present and just doing my thing and how that translates into how I can let go of some of the I've taken myself so damn seriously and let go of some of that in the moment with coaching and just show up and be as present as possible. So that, I don't know, there are so many other things. I feel like there are some bajillion takeaways that I could talk about here, but just that, I don't know, awareness around presence and being in that present moment. And then that's where it is. That's how I let go. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, that's beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. Give yourself some time to like decompress and defrag this, Ash. And I would love to know the other takeaways because you mentioned a couple times. There's like so many things. So I'm really, yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'll post them.
Thanks. How about you, Miss Kim?
So, two things. Oh. I had written before you told us the magic potion for confidence. If we don't need confidence, if I don't need confidence to be myself, so what do I need? So I put real big to be present. And that is big because it has to do with everything that I've been experiencing. I think work, I know for a fact of feel the way I've been feeling, like I really just need to be present. And I've said it and I've been practicing it, but this, I just feel like it applies to everything, like every single thing. Especially when you said, you know, if you're feeling nervous or anxious, oh, hi, sweetie.
Sorry, I interrupted Kim, but have a good night. He came in and I'm like, thank you today, Fawn. And Armand taught me a good lesson about being free from confidence. That was like a big light bulb moment. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Kim.
Sorry. No, we're okay. Beautiful. Thanks, okay. Turkey.
Good night. Bye.
So cute.
Kim.
So, yeah, just everything. And the other thing was, oh, what you were just talking about, heuristics.
Mm-hmm.
I think everything that you've been talking about today, I've been learning in my yoga class, too.
Awesome.
Patterns that keep us in there called samskaras. So is that the same as heuristics? It sounded so... samskaras are like your patterns that you've learned over time that keep you, that you, when you face something, you respond that same way. Because, so when you were saying that, I was like, oh my gosh, I know what that is for yoga. And so I have two different notebooks, but I'm feeling like I should put them together. And it, you know, today when I was listening to my thing, I just felt like, oh my gosh, this is so, I just feel like I can really combine the two and help people. But mostly I feel like this is, and I think I might have mentioned this to Ashley, I think, I don't know, but I feel like this is coming at the right time, like to heal myself. Mm-hmm. And it is like so, like it is like confirmation, like constantly. And so I really feel like I'm meant to use this for myself so I know, like, how to help other people. And, you know, you never want anything bad to happen. But, you know, if sometimes, you know, like you said, you can choose how to look at something. And you can either, so I can either sit here and panic or I could use what I'm learning. Like, and it's right here. Like, it's right here. So I just feel like, so thank you. That's my good thing.
That's so exciting. Oh, I love that. Oh my goodness. Yes, like all the things are connecting and
yeah, like it's in my face. And I just need to be present. And that's why I feel like if I'm just present and I'm paying attention and I'm not worried or nervous or anxious, then I can really get what I need, and then I can also give that to others, you know. So I just feel like it's right here. In
beautiful.
Front of me. I just need to learn how to settle into that. So.
Wow. Yes. Oh, I'm so happy for you knowing what you're going through. And yeah, that's amazing. Since it's the two of you on the end of the call here, you're recording amazing, listening to the buddy coaching. And I have some feedback, but just like some stuff to share around what came up when Ashley were coaching Kim. And some great questions that Ashley actually brought to our mentoring session, to like learn more about what to do in the moment or like what's happening there. And, so I'm going to share that with you ladies. And if it's okay, I might share it with the rest of the group, but, I just really appreciate that you both are like so vulnerable and like able to be in that space of like discomfort, and for you, Kim, to share that and be honest about it. And yeah.
Can I also say that when Ashley was talking earlier about not being sure what to say, like all I kept thinking about was our session. And I was like, I wanted to say so bad that, no, you really do know what to do, like you honestly know what to do. And yeah, so I just want to say that.
I have to agree.
Thank you.
That call in particular, Ash, like, because I was listening to it, knowing that you had questions about it, and I was in a way like, I don't know, thinking that maybe you thought you botched it or something, but I listened to it and I was like, dude, like you fucking nailed it. Like that was amazing. And, you know, not that there's a right or a wrong, or like my gold star means you're better or worse or anything, but it was, I could tell the difference between, if I'm being honest, between the way you showed up in that call with Kim and another call I was listening to, I can't remember which one, but there was like presence and like fluidity and connection. The other one was more like stilted and like, okay, like kind of right. Maybe focusing more on the confident stuff. So
probably.
Anyway, yeah.
Every day I ask myself, or I'll say, this is real for me. Like I say that every day because I'm so serious. That was like the thing that made me feel like, you know what? And I went to the doctor Monday and I knew how I was going to feel because I feel that way every time I go. And I came home feeling that same way. I let myself feel the feelings, but I said, this is real to me. It's real to me. And I don't care what is causing it. It doesn't matter if it is, you know, more mental than it is a physical thing. It is still real to me. And that made, I'm so serious. I'm going to cry. But no, really, that helped me so much. And that's why I mean when I'm in these coaching things, like I'm so glad that we are bringing up real things, you know. And I'm so glad that I feel comfortable with you guys to bring up because I really feel like I'm getting help. You know, I feel like it's a piece to everything, like this coaching call, the buddy coaching calls, our classes, I mean, and then what I'm listening to on yoga, like it is right on time for me. So thank you so much.
Oh my gosh. That's incredible.
So wow.
Yay. Yoga. I mean, I'm learning about this right now in peripheral ways, but turns out somehow humans have known this stuff for a long, long, long time. Like Buddhism, Tao, Hinduism, like it's all there. It's like, well, in ways, in pieces, in part, but yeah. So I love that you're seeing the like the overlap and the congruency. Yeah. Okay, ladies, awesome call. Thank you so much for being you. So much love to both of you.
Thank you for everything. Thank you for sharing that too. Thank you. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, be present.
Yeah.
Good night.
Bye, guys. Have a good night.